I'm delighted to have this opportunity to share in this celebration of the life of Florence Nightingale and the wonderful work of the nursing profession. As a husband of a former registered nurse, brother to two others, father of a nurse practitioner, you could say that nursing runs in our family. But I also preside over a school network which owns Embley Park, where Florence Nightingale grew up. All this makes my wife and myself feel very much at home in this service where we gather to honour a great lady who became a legend in her own time. Shakespeare said of greatness, "Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and others have greatness thrust upon them." Well, Florence achieved greatness, but to some degree, greatness was also thrust upon her through the circumstances of her life. Her early life didn't suggest that from a rather pampered existence in a wealthy family, that a great future lay ahead of her. Her life could easily have ended up indulgent and spoiled were it not for the fact that Florence sought with all her heart a life that had meaning and purpose. At the age of 17, she had a kind of conversion experience that she was being called to do something special and significant. We believe it happened in the grounds of Embley Park. In a note she wrote, "On February the 7th, 1837, God spoke to me and called me to his service." It was to be a very long time before she found out what that service was going to be. But gradually, she was drawn into the awful conditions in English hospitals. Public hospitals were institutions that the wealthy shunned as places of squalor, degradation, and all the worst we can think of. Wards were large, so much so that 60 people and more shared the same room with beds crammed everywhere. The nurses, we are told, who cared for them were often drunk, not able to read or write, and it is said often with questionable morals. But it was not in Florence Nightingale's temperament to worry about what other people thought she should or should not do. Thus it dawned on her that hospitals desperately needed reforming. Gradually she was drawn into the battle to change those conditions. She had found her vocation. We have no idea what her life would have turned out without a war turning up. No doubt she would have made a success of her life. But it's often new circumstances that determine the trajectory of our lives, and perhaps you have found this to be the case in your situation. It was the Crimean War that catapulted her into taking a stand against the War Office and leading politicians of the day. It was a journalist from the Times who brought back a report from the battle front that indicated that the much-vaunted British Army was in very great trouble, with more soldiers dying of disease than those dying in battle. Something had to be done. And Florence knew somebody who could do it. She could. And the rest of the story is so very well known, and it's been told again and again. With 38 nurses, she went to the front, and for the first 6 months they met nothing but opposition, willful ignorance, and condescending male attitudes. It was the nurses who poured themselves out in service to the soldiers, and as they did so, attitudes began to change, because better hygiene, better food, warm clothing began to make some difference. But it was a slow journey. Time and again, cholera swept through the camps. No sooner had they removed one body from a bed and replaced it with another ill man that he died too. No one seemed to understand that the bed itself was contaminated. But the soldiers knew that Miss Nightingale was on their side, and so the legend of the lady with the lamp was born. And by this time, in her early 30s, she was a formidable young woman, quite prepared to take on the generals, other leaders. Her forceful personality, fierce compassion, and sharp intellect routed them all, and they knew it. But there was another element that shouldn't be forgotten. Miss Nightingale was at the forefront of statistical research, indeed, somewhat of a pioneer. Everywhere she went, she wrote down facts in her notebooks, facts about the number of deaths, facts about nutrition, facts about how long people stayed in hospital bed, facts about everything that seemed relevant in the fight against death and for life. She returned from that war, as so many people do return from wars, a changed person. She'd been so ill so often from contact with sick people that her own health had suffered. But the beautiful, aristocratic lady was now a determined, well-researched and troublesome woman who, in the battle against the bureaucrats in the army and public life, was prepared to take no prisoners. What is her legacy today? Well, of course, it lies in nursing. She transformed nursing, beginning with St. Thomas's London and continuing in many of the London hospitals and throughout the world. She pioneered training for nurses and insisted that those who bore her name had the best preparation they could possibly have. Her legacy lay also in fighting for the common soldier, who at the time of Miss Nightingale was seen as a brutal, violent animal, kept like a fierce animal at bay, but was not welcome in civilized society. She changed all that. Her legacy also lies in statistical research, the necessity to compare, study, analyze before making decisions. Her legacy lies in being a champion for the rights of women, even though, curiously, she didn't seem to like other women. She was against women doctors. She refused to join a campaign for the electoral rights of women. She often attacked women for complaining too much, but that was probably because, like Mrs. Thatcher, she enjoyed the company of men best. Undeniably, she showed in a predominantly male world that a bright, capable woman could hold her own against anybody. She would no doubt have agreed with the saying that we all heard, that whatever women do, they must do twice as well as men to be thought half as good. Luckily, that's not very difficult. It wasn't in her case. And you know, the fight continues today, doesn't it? The nursing profession now includes men as well as women, and that's a good thing. Florence Nightingale would marvel and rejoice at conditions in our hospitals today, but I would venture to suggest that there will be things in those hospitals that the great lady would question. Yes, we are blessed in this country with the National Health Service, but it's only as good as the people who staff it. And at the center of great and good medical care are you, the nurses, who more than anyone else are nearest to the patients in need. Florence Nightingale reminds us that nursing is a calling from God, a vocation to serve him and others sacrificially, devotedly. And this calling is one that the nation should not take for granted, but honour and remunerate in a responsible and caring fashion. And Florence Nightingale, the lady with the lamp, would, I believe, be very delighted with the foundation that bears her name and the scholarships you provide to drive up standards. I think she would urge us all to fight against unthinking bureaucracy, which puts institutions before people, to fight for higher standards, to fight for the nobility of your profession, but perhaps above all, to let the light of your lamp, because you too hold a lamp, to reveal your compassion and your care for others. And that is what this celebration is all about. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.